Today's scripture is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
What a beautiful spring Lord's Day to gather and worship. Your presence is appreciated this morning, especially and we appreciate our many visitors and special honor to those of our mothers and those mothers we so remember. It's a special day in so many ways. Glad to have you with us for this service. When we think of love, generally we think of God's love, so much so that if I were to say God is and have you fill the blank in, most probably you'd fill that blank in with love. God is described by many words, but none like the word love. No wonder the verse everybody seems to know from the Bible is John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, yes, we think of love, we think of God. But as is the case with so many things, we best understand, appreciate, and come to realize something when we see it expressed in something we can see day by day. Ever wonder why the Bible is so full of people? I mean, there's a lot of history there, but Emerson once said there is no such thing as history, only biography. And he was right about that because all the principles of the Bible are expressed in the lives of those people who live them out. And the reason the Bible is so full of its characters is because God wants us to see in those characters things we should either be doing and about or those things we should be avoiding at all costs. These people in the Bible are meant to teach us something. Because God realizes we understand truth not in the abstractions of life, but in the concrete living of it. And so when we think of love, so often we think of God's love for us, but especially in a more personal way, we think of God's love expressed through godly mothers. Because just as I said, fill in the blank, God is, and you said love. More often than not, if I were to ask the question, mothers are, you'd have something about love coming next. Because a good and godly mother shows us the best of what God's love looks like in real time, in our very lives. You want to see God's love? Just look at the best of a mother's love and you'll see it. And that's why a moment ago we read from 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that in the midst of it talks about the love we should all have as Christians for one another. It describes that love as being so important that anything else we might do. This was a time of spiritual gifts, and Paul realized that so much of Christian life then was based upon the miracles various Christians could perform. And his point was, even with all of these miracles that the people could do in the absence of love as a motive behind them, Love is the reason for doing them. Love expressed through them. Without the love, those miracles fall flat and mean absolutely nothing. They're ineffective. They're impotent. And even past those gifts, if we give the best of ourselves physically, even in terms of offering our own bodies as living sacrifices in death, if we martyr ourselves in the absence of love as a motivator, that sacrifice means nothing, because everything must be rooted in love. And so one might have the question, well, what does that kind of love look like? And that's why Paul, in the midst of 1 Corinthians 13, tells us in a few phrases just what love in real time, in real life, looks like. And so often I've made the point from this very rostrum that we can't put our own names in there, but we can put Christ's name in there. Christ suffers long and is kind. Christ envies not. All these attributes describe God's love in Christ for us. And whereas so many of us fail and fall in living out perfectly these expressions of love, we think of the best of a godly mother's love, and we can put her name there. Oh, not perfectly so, but much past our ability to replicate. I don't know about your mother. Even if I know your mother, I don't know about your mother like you do. And so I wouldn't dare to venture into those grounds I know little about, but I'll just talk about my own, because I know something of my own mother. And I would imagine that she was a lot like yours, and yours a lot like mine. I hope that's the case. But if it is, then you realize with me how I understand, how we all understand what love looks like when we remember the way we were raised and the mothers we enjoyed having. We're just going to look at two or three of these because our time is short. Attention spans are even shorter these days. And as a Mother's Day gift to you, I'll keep it brief. But it begins by saying love suffers long. One of the wonderful attributes of God's love for us is that He's patient with us. He's long-suffering with us. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. But by His grace, He sticks with us. In the cross, He's shown His love for us. And even in our most rebellious, He always gives us a means, a way, hope to come back to Him. God is long-suffering, and that's true also of godly mothers. They put up with endless, ridiculous questions. They put up with ridiculous behavior. They put up with so much of our ignorance, ignorance that we had no choice about, and sometimes ignorance we were willfully involved in, but they put up with us. They were willing to be long-suffering with us, and they believed in us when nobody else really would. Your friends might turn against you. Your mother's still there. Your instructors might see little hope for you. Your mother still has hope for you. It seems that nothing is ahead of you but dark times, bad times, ugly times, but your mother sees you, the best of you, what you can become, what you could turn out to be, and is long-suffering through the thick and thin of it till you get there. Because that's just what a mother does. I learned the best I know of respect from my father. So much of the knowledge I have of God's Word, I've gleaned from Him. Learned about preaching from my father, but I learned about life and about love from my mother. And anything I've learned about being long-suffering, being full of forbearance, as one person once defined these words, about putting up with others, I learned in my mother, who had so much with the kids, with her own husband, with the members, to put up with. God is like that. Mothers are like that. We all should be like that. That's the point Paul is making here in 1 Corinthians 13 about the church. We are supposed to be living like God, living like Christ as Christians, living the best of this as we've seen in our own mothers. We, in a Christian perspective, in a Christian environment, should be showing long-suffering toward one another. Not being too quick to judge, too quick to criticize, too quick to strike out, but being willing to patiently wait and help and nurture someone past where they are to a better place. God is that way. Mothers are that way. We all should be more that way, of being long-suffering. Every time Paul mentions a list of descriptive words describing how we as Christians should act and respond with one another, he includes this idea of long-suffering. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul begins by encouraging the Christians there at Ephesus to live a life worthy of the calling. He says, wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing with one another in Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Long suffering, forbearance, two words used in this short number of words used describing how we all should be with one another. It's hard to have unity when all of us are striking out at one another, impulsively criticizing one another, selfishly judging one another, and not as Christ doing our best to nurture each other into a better place over time, being long-suffering with where we are, hoping for where we're going to go. Mothers are long-suffering. But then next, Paul says love is kind. There's a word you don't hear much these days. Kind. And kindness. Common courtesy is not nearly as common as we think it might have used to have been. Not sure it ever was, but it seems like that's not the case today. Whether you're at the store, buying groceries, or talking to a neighbor across the fence, or a stranger, you find that kindness is pretty hard to come by. A basic courtesy that treats others with respect, a selflessness which works to help in the needs of other people's lives. Kindness. Peter says simply, be courteous in 1 Peter chapter 3. God is described as a God of love and grace and mercy. And in the mix of that in Ephesians 2, Paul throws in this word kindness. Because God in his kindness has extended his grace. He in his kindness has shown us his mercy. He in his kindness loves and has given his son for us. All of this because God is a courteous, a kind, a giving God. We see that in God. And yes, if we are blessed to have had godly mothers, we've seen it there in motherly love expressed in kindness. Sometimes our siblings weren't so kind. Sometimes we were not so kind. We had a lot of folks we went to school with that were far from kind. Sometimes we had some instructors in school that were far from courteous and kind. But hopefully we saw in our mothers that kindness which we should also be exemplifying in our own lives. again, the best of what God offers. Hopefully we saw in real time in our mothers' examples in this area of kindness. Now, if your mother was kind, she learned it from God. She saw it in Christ. It's a part of being a Christian, after all. When you look at Christ's life in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, what do you see but someone invested in truth, who is the very embodiment of truth, but presented that truth in love, and because of that, is seen still by all of us years later as someone truly kind. You can imagine someone using the truth as a battering ram to defeat and destroy, demolish and demean. But Christ used truth to draw all men to himself. Didn't he say at one time, if I be lifted up from the earth, draw all men unto me? Christ did not drive men, he drew men to him. He didn't demand of others as much as he expected the best in others and taught the best from others in language like this in Matthew chapter 11. We can imagine him here with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That is an expression of kindness. You might remember that wonderful story that Luke tells of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. A story that has a terrible middle but a wonderful ending, where the young boy, having come to himself, comes home, as it were, hat in hand, begging forgiveness just for some lower seat among the servants' table, and instead the father shows him such kindness. Not so much in the older brother, but yes, in the father. And that father represents God. And so much of that we've seen in our own mothers. And again, Paul's point is not about God here or about mothers here. It's about us. And hopefully we should have learned this from them, and we should have begun long since to put this into our lives' practice. We should be kind to one another. I'm disturbed of late to see many good, otherwise Christian people outside the confines of a building like this, in the way they deal with the wait staff or those in places of business or places of social interaction, to show such unkindness. In fact, there have been times within buildings like this one, I've seen Christians be very unkind to one another. And as Paul would say, these things ought not so to be. The whole world knows that we are the Lord's if we love one another. And much of that love is expressed in the kindness we show to strangers we don't know and to those of us who know each other. A kindness we should have learned already from God and hopefully also from our own mothers. But then one last this morning. I read a bit further down into this list of what love looks like in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, love seeks not her own. Seeks not her own. The very definition of love, as the Bible presents it, is this decision to put the needs of another ahead of the needs of self. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Love is always giving and sacrificial. It puts the needs of anyone, everyone else, above your own needs. That's what love looks like. That's what God's love looks like. That's what the best of our mother's love looked like. A love that oftentimes went without less, without complaining, without pointing fingers at self or others, because the love was there for the best of others. Now, my brother and I used to fight over what was left on the platter. And there's a time or two we fought with Dad on that matter, but never with her mother. Not once. Never thought till years after the fact. I wonder if she got enough. I'm not sure she did. I wonder if she ever got her seconds. I'm not sure if she did. We were so concerned with self at the time, we had little concern for her. But she then was concerned with us. And not just about food on the table, about money spent, time expended. The best of who mothers are deal with the best of who they want us to become. They see kids as an investment. And they put all they have, all they are, into that investment. Because they don't seek their own. Now, I do apologize here because somebody might be saying, that doesn't sound like my mother. It doesn't sound like mine. I'm sorry about that. I really am. I can't help your upbringing. I can't change what happened in your past. I can't make you to have a new mother. I don't know about yours. Remember, I started by saying, I don't know yours, I just know mine. And if you find in me a spirit that's not long-suffering, an unkind spirit I have, or a spirit of selfishness that you see exuding from me, no, it's not because of anything she taught me. Because she taught me just the opposite by her words and also by her attitude of example. I learned to be long-suffering. I learned to be kind. I learned to think of others first because of what she taught me about what God looks like concerning what the Bible teaches about what love really looks like. No wonder we honor mothers on a day like today. We want to be the best of who God wants us to be. And sometimes we act in such a way that somebody needs to tell us, would your mother be proud of what you're doing? What would your mother be thinking about what you just said? Is that what you'd want your mother seeing you do? We have expressions like that because the best of what we've seen of God's love has always been expressed in good and godly mothers. My friend, if you're here with us this morning and you're outside of Christ, the love of God is there. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you become a Christian? As a child of God, are you faithful to the Lord? He still loves you. That love is there. Are you living up to that love by the life you're living? If you need to come this morning, come now as together we stand and sing.